In 1994, David Filo and Jerry Yang were graduate students at Stanford University. 2 years later, they were running a multi-million pound internet corporation. In the late 1990s, the Open University interviewed them for a series called TheWebStory.com. Their pioneering tale started in a small trailer on the Stanford campus, where they spent more and more of their time putting together what became known as David and Jerry's Guide to the World Wide Web.
It was, I guess, something that was interesting to both of us. We were certainly interested in the web, and so as we were spending time on the web and finding it harder and harder to find things, it kind of was useful for ourselves, and it was fun. And gave us some more of an excuse to spend more time on the web. So, and we certainly didn't start out thinking that we'd make this a business someday. It was really just as a convenience for ourselves. And then certainly as other people started using it, that kind of motivated us to continue working on it, to add more and more stuff.
It's an index, it's a catalog about web pages. So you don't want the catalog to be somewhere else and to go to the web. I mean, you want it to be on the web to click on something and go to the other parts of the web. So, you know, put it out there so that other people who are looking for the web can also use it. I think one night we decided to change our name from David and Jerry's Guide to the World Wide Web to something shorter. And we came up with Yahoo primarily because we wanted to come up with an acronym. And the acronym for Yahoo stands for Yet Another Hierarchical Officious Oracle. But obviously, the meaning, if you looked it up in the dictionary, means a bunch of very rude and uncivilized people. And we thought that characterized us pretty well. It was for fun, it was zany, and we figured people would remember it.
Soon, Yahoo became much more than a searchable list of categories.
Well, we certainly started out as solely a directory. And we actually weren't really even a search engine, but we had a search capability of the directory. Since then, we've continued to add more and more services. And today, the kind of navigation directory piece of it is becoming a smaller and smaller piece of what people use Yahoo for. You look at what people get online for, and it's typically email, and it's to get your news, and it's to get stock quotes, things like that. I think it kind of all blurs into a kind of navigational guide of helping people find what they're interested in. And that could be either people type in a search word, they're interested in cars, or they could be browsing through a hierarchy to get to the same information. But there's different ways to get to it, different search words you can get to the same information, different paths you can kind of go through browsing. But it's all about helping people find what they're looking for. And because the web has so much information, it covers everything in one's life and everyone else's life out there. It covers pretty much every topic you can ever imagine. And then some. It's, you know, a very difficult problem of trying to figure out how you get people connected to what they're looking for, because you type in one word and I type in the same word and we may mean two different things. And so search engine directory, it's all about, I guess, helping people find what they're looking for. And there are different ways to do that, but it's the same problem. And I think no one's really solved the problem. The problem never will be solved to the point where anyone can just come up to the computer and immediately find what they're looking for. I mean, it's got to be somewhat of a process to figure out what the user is actually looking for. And so all these things are just different ways to try to help that process along.
I think what we try to do is be a little bit different in terms of how we collect our data. We've obviously taken an approach where everything that we collect in terms of websites and descriptions has been done by humans. There are a lot of other ways of which companies have created a big index of websites or contents of websites through crawling and automated means. And we've used automation to the extent it helps the humans to finally put together a product. And so, you know, there are subtle differences, but in general, I think we're all trying to solve the same problem, which is to help a user who may have some preconceived notion of what they're looking for, either by browsing or by searching, find what they want. And that's the function. But, you know, over time, that function itself has evolved to so many different other things where personalization now is becoming key. how do you personalize somebody's experience on the web because of the interactivity? And how do you build into not only searching for information, but also have information that you want to communicate with other people, like email and paging and chatting? How do you involve that around the person? So it really becomes less of a search engine and directory game, but more of how do you provide a full suite of services that satisfy the user.
One of the issues they had to address was which sites to include and which to keep off their lists.
We try to be as inclusive as possible. And when we don't include a site, it's usually because they don't meet certain editorial criteria. For example, it really doesn't have very much content on it, or it really doesn't do much for the category vis-a-vis the other sites that are already on there. There are certain things that we don't list. For example, how to blow up a building, or how do you build a bomb, or some child pornography stuff. So there's some things that we've drawn a line for. And depending on what country we're in, sometimes we face different sets of criteria. So perhaps in the UK or in Germany and France, because there are certain things that are allowed or looked upon even more negatively, we don't do it for certain countries. So, but in general, what we try to push for is being inclusive rather than exclusive. We try to push for finding the middle ground between two different opinions rather than sort of saying one opinion is right or one opinion is wrong. And really highlight that through the internet, because I think the internet is a great place where people can express different points of views, even though if they're not the popular ones. But when it gets to the point of hurting somebody or damaging somebody, either physically or mentally, I think that's where we start looking at it very carefully. We don't want this becoming a medium of hatred and sort of abuse. We want to become a medium of discussion and understanding each other. And so that's where we draw the line.
A key part of David and Jerry's business philosophy was to give users the service for free.
It's something fairly fundamental. I think that what we believe is that getting as many people to use the internet in as many different ways as possible is a good thing. And to the extent that we can offer it for free and still have a business around it, that's the best way to get people to use it. So, we don't sit around and say, hey, which service should we offer for free and which service we shouldn't. We really sit around and say, what can we afford to do for free? And as long as we can continue to do that, we will keep pushing on these services. Now, probably not everything that we ever offer we'll be able to do for free, but we're certainly going to try. And I think it's something that pushes the level of what people can do on the internet faster because these are free. Because, having a free product out there versus having something to pay, the ability for us to learn from our audience and the people adopting it and for us to scale, it's almost the purest form of the fastest way we can evolve as an industry. I think if the industry as a whole was a paid industry, meaning subscribers had to pay for us, you would not have seen as many features evolve, and you probably would not have seen as many people use it. And those are all things that I think has hastened, if anything else, the growth of the internet. We're a media company on the web, and in many respects, we need to stay ahead of our users, but not too far ahead of them. I think there's some trends that are very clear. People are not only using this medium as a purely information medium, they're beginning to use this as a transaction, shopping, business medium. We need to be positioned there. People are beginning to use this as a communications medium. We need to be positioned there. And this is truly an international global medium, and we are starting to be in 13 different countries and 13 different languages, but we have so much more to do to make sure that on a worldwide basis, what we're offering is competitive and value added to a consumer, a web user in that country. And all these things are just very difficult to do. We have a lot of competitors, and the technology changes every day, so clearly just guiding the ship and making sure we're going the right direction is very difficult, but all at the same time, it's the kind of challenge that you maybe once in a lifetime and, people like us love to do. We follow a fairly simple algorithm, which is to keep figuring out what users are likely to use next. And that's the magic. If we can do it right, we'll stay ahead. And if we don't do it right, we'll fail.
From the Open University. For more information, go to www.open.ac.uk/use.